This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScope.co.uk and discover the advantage.
Hello and welcome to the Twin Peaks Investing Podcast. This is podcast 171. This will be the first recording we're doing in 2026. It is the 21st of January. And the last time we recorded a live podcast was with four guests back on the 13th of December. So this is Henry and I back with you. Henry at HT Viola on X. Yeah, Henry Viola here, the intrepid, the master of all. Welcome back, sir.
Very nice to be back, Peter, and a very happy new year to you. It feels a bit odd saying that on the 21st of January, but a very happy new year to you.
It does, mate. We've spoken in between, but we're saying it to each other on the pod for the first time this year, and it feels nice to be back, although we're going to try and keep this one short and sweet because I know you've got plans for this evening and you've got lots going on at work as well. And we'll get back to the normality of the pod. Even though we've been saying for a year and a half, we're going to try and stick to about 60 minutes, and we've never managed that somehow. We're going to try
we've
and do that a bit
close,
more.
So but I think this will be in under the hour mark. I am confident of it.
Right, okie dokie. We've had some really good news regarding the markets since the 13th of August when we were recording. And I can't really start the pod without saying a huge thank you to all of our guests that were on podcast 169, which was the festive one, and podcast 170, which was the new year one, which we also recorded at the same time, and the fantastic support and help that we had from Paul Hall of ShareScope, who did all the charting for us and got all the different fundamental information up onto the screens for us. He was absolutely indispensable when we recorded those two podcasts, which were recorded at the same time, and we were here from around 6:15-ish through to 10:30, and I was still having conversations with a couple of people going on 11:00. That was a long old, you know, it felt like a Friday the 13th, never mind a December the 13th. But it was brilliant to have done that. Did you enjoy that particular episode, those two episodes, Henry?
That was fantastic. I mean, it was lovely to see so many of the audience with us. Paul was spectacular as always. Always great to have guests engaging, and it's so lovely to hear from people. You know, I think they were quite possibly my two favourite episodes of the year, if I'm honest. Definitely a high point for us.
Absolutely. I think the brilliant thing was, having recorded both those podcasts on the 13th, the ideas that we generated since the 13th, some of those stocks, including the likes of Currys, which you were, you know, you're like, I hate retail stock, and then they said this particular stock, and you went, oh, actually, I quite like that one.
Yeah.
They've done quite well since, haven't they? Quite a few of the stocks that we talked about.
Yeah, I think Currys just had quite a positive trading update, I'm sure.
Today. Yeah.
It makes all the difference. And I mean, this is the thing about investing. You know, you can't be too dogmatic about it. I mean, there are some principles that I will stick to come hell or high water, but I find sometimes just going a little bit outside your comfort zone occasionally, you know, can really pay dividends.
Absolutely. So, yeah, that's one of many stocks that we spoke about that's done well. Your pick for the year, Secure Trust Bank, has done exceptionally well as well, year to date. I'm not sure has there been any news about it.
It's not had an update so far this year, but it's still motoring on.
Still rising.
Interestingly, CityWire Elite Companies, there was an article I was reading from them saying that European fund managers are quite bullish on European banks, including UK banks. They feel that they are going to do very, very well in 2026. So, a space to watch, I think.
Could be interesting. We've got to see where interest rates go. And also, we had that sort of little curveball regarding inflation, so we've got to be careful whether or not there's any further cuts going forward. What else have we had? That's had some news. The noise and the battle for Warner Brothers is still ongoing as well. We spoke about that
It
particular
is,
stock.
yeah.
That seems to be ongoing still. So yeah, so there's lots going on. We'll see what happens with that. But if you haven't watched 169 or 170 yet, I highly recommend you do so. Those two pods were absolutely exceptional. The numbers we've had for those two stocks have been off the charts. Probably our highest numbers for the whole of 2025 for those two particular podcasts across all platforms. So yeah, so a big thank you to all of our guests that appeared on there. Thank you all for your feedback, reposting, and all the rest of it from you guys and ladies and gents that are on all the different platforms. Really, really appreciate that. Now we've had that good news, I need to share some not so well, some horrible news really. That really took me back, just took me off my feet really when I found out about it. And this is regarding one of my favoured gents that I've met over the past 20 years of my journey of investing across social media and platforms, but I've been doing it longer than that. But one of the individuals I met was a gent by the name of Mark Bentley, and he was mate, a fantastic individual. Did a lot of work regarding shareholders' rights, advocacy, mentoring, financial education for ShareSoc, and I'm sure many of you, ladies and gents, met and spoke with Mark, but unfortunately, he passed away shortly after Christmas, and that has hit me hard. And one of the things I want to do, and I spoke with Henry about this, is to set up a page. I'm not sure how it's going to be done yet. I've spoken with some individuals via ShareSoc and some other individuals. I'm going to find a way where Henry and I can dedicate our fundraising this year from the Twin Peaks Challenge in a sort of foundational trust memoriam funding with Mark's name to respect his legacy, but also support shareholders' rights slash financial education for others, because that's something I would like to do for Mark. I think it's very important to respect what he's done and how he's done it over several decades. So that's what we're going to try and do. I know you've met him as well several times, Henry, and he was there actually hosting the room that we did the last Twin Peaks podcast live at the Investor Summit back in August. That's the last time I saw him, actually.
Yeah, it was for me, Pete, and I think you've probably known him slightly longer than I have, but I've known him for, I would say, probably 4 or 5 years, and he's been one of the most consistently pleasant, kind, and thoughtful investors I've ever met. He was, I don't use the word gentleman lightly in this context. He was a proper gentleman,
Absolutely
really,
agree.
really kind. When we went to the Investor Summit, he bumped into me on the street outside, and we just had a really nice half hour before people got there, just sitting, having a chat, and having a cup of coffee, and having a natter. And I just thought, what a lovely bloke he really was. What a lovely bloke. And so when you called me up and mentioned this idea of us dedicating the fundraise this year to his memory, I thought, how fitting. How fitting. And he's somebody that I would be proud to raise funds for, because he's done a lot for investors. He's done a lot for a
Absolutely
lot of
agree.
our audience. And yeah, he's a loss to the community.
Absolutely, a huge loss. A hugely well-respected individual, loved by many. As I said at the beginning, he was a gent, a role model, a supporter of all, an advocate for many. He would go at lengths to try and protect shareholders' rights and look after other people. And unfortunately, we've lost another absolutely fantastic individual, but we can also support and remember him accordingly. So that's what we're going to do via this podcast going forward. So just next pod, hopefully I'll have it all sorted out for you, ladies and gents, that want to support us in doing so going forward. Right, Henry, with regards to our 2025 Just Giving charitable support that our listeners globally supported, we smashed through the 5,000. We finished at £6,030 plus gift aid, takes it to 7,279. And
Seven
separately,
thousand.
yep, we finished with 7,259 and 70 pence. Yeah. And on top of that, separately regarding what I was doing, I got a singular donation of £5,000 offline from one of a financial entity that wants to remain anonymous. So in total, we've got £12,000, which is going to be utilized by Memphis to support young adults, disabled adults, and young people with special educational needs into employability. That's been ring fenced for that. So I'm hoping to share some good stories, some fantastic stories with you listeners that have donated to that particular charity fundraise for 2025 throughout the year, if not later in the year, when we start getting them through these schemes and put them on placement. So that's the plan for that.
Wonderful. Wonderful work. I mean, that is just such a wonderful sum of money to have raised, and it's such a great cause. And I think it really is. It's testament to the audience that we've got, that people are so generous and so giving, that we've managed to raise those funds. You know, that's what, £1,000 a month. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it is. We've done absolutely exceptionally well. I'm just going to run through some of these names. I'm conscious that we need to get some stocks talked about shortly, Henry, and I need you to get going to where you need to go this evening. So our fantastic individuals, I can't read all the names out. I'm going to read some of the most recent ones because we tried to speak about those that have already donated in previous pods. But the last person to donate was an individual called Richie F321, and his words were, "Thanks for the shout out on your podcast. I know it's small." That's a book dropping behind me. "I know it's small, but I hope this helps." And that was £28 plus £7 gift day. So Richie, thank you ever so much. And then we had Bearcat Bear, right? As in the animal bear. I meant to do this after every episode I listened to last year. Thank you and Henry for all of your work you've put into the podcast, the Investor Summit and charity. And from that individual, that was £50 and £12 gift aid. So thank you very much, Bear Cat Bear. Anonymous, 13 days ago, £7 gift aid and £30 given to us. And another person, Sarah L. I think I know who that Sarah L is, so thank you, Sarah. Kindness does indeed matter. £25 and £6, £25 gift aid. And then Dooney Beer support team donated £150 and £37.5 gift aid and said, "Well done, Peter. Excellent work." Phil O'Sullivan, thank you, Dooney Bear. Phil O'Sullivan, a good friend of ours and a regular listener to the podcast, said, "Well done, Peter," and donated 50 euros as well, which is nice. Got currency differences going on there. He's based in Ireland somewhere. I think it might be Dublin, actually. So thank you, Philip. Really appreciate that. Then Pat, or Patchy, as we know him, our good friend. I think you went out on the drinks with him as well, Christmas, didn't you, Henry?
We did. Yeah, yes.
Very that memory is coming back very quickly. So Pat made another donation because he'd already made a donation before that. Happy to make a small top up. £6,000 would be an amazing result. And he donated another further £10 and £2.50 gift day. So thank you, Patchy. Then Michael in Ayrshire, just listened to your festive special with guests. Excellent podcast. Thank you both very much for your hard work. £30 and £7.50 gift aid. So brilliant. Thank you, Michael, for that. Invest Like a Sloth, I think he made another donation here. Cheers, guys. Big thanks to you too. Thanks to two of the nicest chaps you'll find in the PI community. That's very nice of you, investors.
That is very kind of you.
£10 and £2.50 gift aid. Another anonymous donation of £20 and £5 gift aid. Thank you. Danny, I think that was Danny Wallace, my good friend, donated £50 and £12 gift aid. Very much appreciated, Danny. And we look forward to seeing you soon. Mark Allery, thanks for all you do, Peter and all. Best wishes, Mark. £10 and £2.50 gift aid. Really appreciate that. And then our friend Dave Sumner, who you've also been out with a drink with in recent months, all to be based in London. A pleasure to support such a great cause. Worth every penny just to see Peter the Elf. That was after I posted that picture, wasn't it?
Yeah.
At Christmas, that made everyone chuckle. Wasn't a good picture, that, at all. But he donated £100 as a consequence of that. So thank you, Dave. Very much appreciated. Big Dave Summers there. We need to get to a Charlton Athletic match, by the way. via David
Yeah,
at some point this year. You
sorted
need to come
out.
up here for a rugby game at some point this year.
Yeah.
I was out last night at a gig. This is why we changed days again. We were meant to do it yesterday. We're doing it again tonight. I was out with, his name's just gone out of my head. Name's just gone out of my head. That is
It'll
mad.
come back to
Harry
you.
Wells. I was out with Harry Wells
Oh, yes,
last
yes.
night, England international, Leicester rugby player. He's in his testimonial year, so I was out with them last night. Donation from Lester Pete. This is a chap that I know who's in the automotive industry, bike, m more motorbikes. Well done, guys, for giving up your time to bring us the best co-hosted podcast in the investing space. Ooh, that's kind words, mate.
High praise indeed.
A bigger well done for all the money that you raised for the charity. All the best for 2026. That's Pete, Lester Pete, £50 and £12 gift aid. Thank you ever so much, Lester Pete. Lewis Tullett, who was one of our guests on the pod, on the first
Was
one, the festive
indeed.
one, he stayed for that, even though he was struggling with a bad cough and I think fatigue. Peter and Henry, well done on another year of podcasts under your belt. Happy to support this charity and the very best wishes for 2026. That's £25 and £6 gift aid. Thank you ever so much, Lewis. And then our friend, which I think we both had a drink with, Matthew Gray, made another donation again. Topping up. Peter and Henry, really happy to support your chosen charity this year. Beating the 2025 target is evidence of the wealth of education and entertainment that listeners feel they receive. Roll on 2026. Another £20 there from Matthew Gray, much appreciated. And gift aid. Reluctant investor, it is a great thing you both do, and so pleased you've reached this year's target. Have a very Merry Christmas and New Year. £100 and £25 gift aid from a reluctant investor. We're hoping to see him more on Blue Sky now because he's gone and waved goodbye to X. So we're going to hopefully see a bit more of him on there going forwards, but looking forward to that. Steve G, have a great Christmas and New Year, guys. Thanks for all your efforts with entertaining and informative podcasts. £30 and £7 gift aid. And last but not least, so thank you, Stevie G, or Steve G. DPB said another year of fantastic insights and community building, Peter and Henry. Thanks for giving your time to this project. All the best for 2026. £50 and £12 gift aid. So, ladies and gents, you've been absolutely immense with your financial support of our charity fundraising, and hopefully you will do the same when we start the community page for Mark Bentley to support financial education for chosen charities or schools that we might be able to support going forward. Thank you ever so much. Henry, thoughts regarding that?
This is a quick hello to you, our valued Twin Peaks Investing Podcast listener. Whatever channel you're listening to, please make sure to subscribe and you'll always be the first to get the new episodes. Thank you for your continued support.
All wonderful. I mean, it's not just the financial giving. It's the little notes that we get along with them as well. And
Absolutely.
it honestly, it means so much to have people writing in the way that they do and, you know, giving these donations, because Peter and I, we sit here every 2 weeks and we ramble on and you hope that someone listens and enjoys it. And if we don't hear back, we've got no idea. You know, you just don't know. And so to
Right.
get the engagement back in this way is just fantastic. And it's so kind of all of you that have donated. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we've done brilliantly well, mate. Right, so swiftly moving on. Thank you all, and please carry on showing kindness to us by retweeting, reposting, commenting about the post, and sharing it on the different platforms, giving us a thumbs up, or a comment on Apple, iTunes, Amazon Music, wherever platforms you use, Spotify, Audio Boom. Just share the love. Got to talk about the FTSE 100, Henry. Yeah, we were talking about this on the live pods that we did over Christmas, the Christmas one and the New Year's one, and saying, you know, potentially you could hit the 10,000, but after that, who knows what's going to happen? And the volatility of the new year has been immense, and I think it's been led by, I was going to say something derogatory there. I'm going to have to. Anyway, everyone knows where the volatility, the noise is coming from, and why. And all I'm going to say to you guys is keep an eye out regarding the markets, because it's going to be a very, very volatile year. But we've hit the 10,000. We've gone on to record, I think, the highest intraday so far, Henry, is 10,257. I've got that in my little notes here. The highest end of day close we've had was the 15th of January. It was 10,238. And right now, I'm going to say to you, ladies and gents, we finished today maybe around 10,126-ish. I've not seen the close of the day. Keep an eye out on the lower highs regarding the FTSE 100. Yeah. We've had the 10,257 as the intraday high. Have a look at what the highs are. And if they keep going back towards 250, great. But if they sink towards 10,000 and we give up 10,000 at the FTSE 100, have a look at what the news was. Have a look at what the impact could be going on for the rest of the month of January, then February, then March, and have a think about it. If not, as Henry and I have been doing, and we've spoken about this separately, we've been taking a little bit off the table where we think sensible. And that enables us both to have some cash sitting on the sidelines. The market does have a moment, because we're long-term investors, it gives us some cash to go in the market and purchase either some stocks that we own already at a lower price point to where they were 2 weeks ago, a month ago, or to buy something new that we've always thought, oh, that might be a bargain. Maybe now we're going to go in. Yeah. Thoughts on the market volatility and a certain color of individual causing mayhem in the markets, Henry?
Well, this is all about tariffs. This is all about tariffs.
Tariffs and Greenland, mate.
You know, well, yes, it's that political uncertainty, isn't it? But
yeah,
where, you know, the invasion of Greenland geopolitically would not be a stabilizing event. They might not necessarily have an impact, a direct impact on the stock market. Where tariffs have a very real and very tangible immediate impact, if implemented, they're basically a tax on supply chains. You know, yep. The damage isn't really the tariff itself necessarily. It's more the uncertainty it injects. You know, how much are things going to cost? How are businesses going to fund capital expenditure? How confident are you feeling? You know, if tariffs go from 10% to 20% to 50%, where do they stop? You know, for me, the investing question in all of this, it's not really who wins the trade war or is America going to invade Greenland. It's which businesses can absorb these shocks without permanent impairment. You know, and that sounds a little bit callous in one sense. I mean, yes, obviously, I don't want America to invade Greenland or anywhere else for that matter. But purely through an investing lens, I'm trying to figure out at the moment where tariffs are landing. You know, do they land on an importer or an exporter, or are consumers being taxed? You know, my job as a portfolio manager is to own companies with enough leverage, either strong brands or good contract structures or market positioning, that really, no matter what happens with their costs, they can pass these through, and so they can protect their margins. And so that's really where my focus has been as an investor the last couple of weeks. I got asked on Blue Sky only yesterday, how can you be so calm? America's going to invade Greenland. Why aren't you running around panicking and selling everything? And it wasn't phrased like that. But,
yeah,
you know, why aren't you scared? Well, on the one hand, yes, I am. If America invades Greenland, my God, you know, what's happening to the world? On the other hand, what on earth am I supposed to do about it as an investor? You know,
it's a good point, Henry. I think the other aspect of it for me as well as all of that is this political capital of trust.
Yeah.
There has been an issue of trust being damaged, being destabilized, being dismantled at this present time. And if you get certain number of countries on this side, a pocket on that side, another pocket on that side, all of a sudden there is that level of division where there is a lack of trust. And that lack of trust feeds into the uncertainty of the markets. Markets hate uncertainty. They hate friction between countries. They like the status quo to be sitting there where we just, there's enough stuff going on anyway already. We don't need a war between that faction and that faction and that country and that group of individuals and da, 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 da. They don't need that. So that capital of trust is being diminished daily.
But that, I
So
mean,
that's.
you've always got some form of worry in the markets. I mean, I've been investing long enough now that I can't actually think of a year where there's not been someone telling me the market's about to fall off a cliff. I mean, genuinely, it's like there are some accounts on social media that are just a constant stream of disaster and war and doom and
Oh,
sell
you've
it
got to be
all.
careful of those doom looms, mate.
And this
Oh,
is the thing.
before I forget, Henry, I've got to say this, not to interrupt you.
Don't shoot.
If you're on X, and I know it's getting very difficult for people to stay on X now, right? What you're finding is sometimes you're thinking, I've not seen a tweet from Henry for ages. Henry tends to at least post at least two or three times every day, if not once a day, about I continue to hold this stock, right? When the RNS comes out, I'm joking. But at least once a day, you may not see it. Right, there are two streams of you can get whatever the algorithm throws at you, or you've got your account by the accounts that you follow. If you go above that and it says following accounts, it will say recent, or straight away. I forget the two wordings. Right, there's two words next to it, but you'll have to change the actual filter. So it shows immediate
Yeah,
post
most
by
recent and popular.
most recent and popular. So most recent is what you want. So that every single person you follow on X, you will see the recent posts from them. Not the most popular posts from all the people that you follow. But the most recent posts from all the people you follow. And I'm not sure what's happened, but Mr. Musk keeps tinkering with this, and we're not seeing what we want to see. We're being shown what they want us to see. So if you don't want to see all that noise and all that doom loop, go and stick on the platform to what you want to see by the people you're following and choosing most recent. Sorry, Henry, I have to say that because I forgot.
No, that's very valid. And I mean that noise and that fear, right? You've kind of got to get past it a little bit. And I'm not saying that there aren't very real fears in the world, but as an investor, your job, try and look at the mechanics of what's going on with the businesses you are investing in. Forget the macro noise for just a moment. Look at the plumbing of what you're investing in. Where are these businesses earning their revenue? Where are they incurring their costs? If they needed to, how quickly could they resource materials or staff? What proportion of their revenues are regulated or contracted or indexed? How exposed is their balance sheet to interest rates? These are very tangible, real questions you can ask yourself about the companies you are investing in to get some control back from the constant stream of sort of panic that's being piped into markets. Now, that's really what my focus has been on, and thinking, if tariffs persist for 5 years, what changes operation? Does the business have a track record of price increases sticking? What contractual structure are they using to secure their accounts? These are the things that I'm looking for, because ultimately, unless you believe that World War III is about to start tomorrow and we're all going to be vaporized, in which case I don't really see why we're worrying about the stock market at all. If you don't believe that, you've got to think about what companies will do well. And those are the ones whose share prices will be relatively protected, in my opinion.
Yeah, good call. Good call. On that note, Henry, I'm going to talk about one of the stocks I own at the minute. And then we're going to talk about some stocks which I think are going to be resilient. Now, all of the noise that we talked about, the tariff noise, the war noise, and all the rest of it, the financial stocks tend to weather reasonably well during all of this. An obvious sector we've spoken about before is also the defense sector. Although we don't want them to do too well because it means that things have gone really peak tongue. The third sector is Commodities, gold, silver, palladium, platinum, have all done well. Copper stocks have done exceptionally well over the past 2 years. So I'm going to talk about some of those stocks. But one of the stocks that I had, I woke up to this week that I was like, that'd be nice. That's a nice little premium there, was Beazley. Yeah. Zurich Insurance have come out and gone, wallop, we want to buy that for 7.67 billion, right? A premium of 56%. Yeah. So the insurance companies are all going, woo, happy days. They've all got a nice little jump on them. Hiscox rose as well, which I also hold. The laggard of those, I would be looking at the Admirals of the world, Lancashire of the world, I hold Ellen, Legal and General of the world. I'll be looking and seeing what other pockets of stocks are in there that would be of interest to other larger consolidators within the insurance sector. But the proposal from Zurich, apparently they made an offer on the 4th of January for £12.30. It was rejected by the company, saying it significantly undervalued the business. Yeah, that was at a 50% premium to where the share price was, and it says it significantly undervalued the business. I'm like, you guys have got a cheek. And then Zurich's come back and offered £12.80 without going back to speak to the board. And now they've got until February to come back and make a full offer if they want to go for it. And we'll wait and see. I've already locked a few off at £11.65, Henry, to lock in my 64th successful takeover exit in 12 years. But the reason why I've done that is because having looked at what the company does and how it does it, they're going to want £13 plus for this, despite the stock was sitting down at £7, £7.50 not so long ago. Yeah. So my caution is, if they walk away, we're going back to between 11.80 and 8 quid. Could be sitting back at sub 10 quid quite easily if they walk away, but that would be next month. But I would say have a look at the insurance space, have a look at the other stocks. You like your banks, Henry. Have you got any insurance stocks at all?
Whether you are an experienced or new investor, you know how valuable it is to conduct portfolio enhancing analysis and to have easy access to data that will give you the edge. As a Twin Peaks Investing podcast listener, you can access an exceptional offer, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. This special Twin Peaks offer is available to new subscribers only, and you can subscribe using the promo code Twin Peaks. The incredible and exclusive offer means that monthly subscribers will get their second month free, and annual subscribers will get their 13th month free. Sign up and subscribe today using the Twin Peaks promo code, and you can save up to £69. Visit sharescope.co.uk for further details and subscribe to the investing and trading analysis and data you need.
I do. I mean, we both own Legal and General.
Yep.
I've just sold Phoenix. So there you go, a bit of breaking
Right.
news.
Okay.
I've taken profit on that. It's never
Okay.
been a business that I viewed as being a core holding. And so it kind of got to a price that I'd got a soft price target on. And I thought,
Okay.
if the market collapsed tomorrow, would I be willing to give back half of this profit? No.
So I do.
I'll save my money,
Yeah.
thank
Yeah.
you. I've got shares in Aviva.
Oh, okay. That's been super though, hasn't it? That's been super productive for
That's
you.
done very, very well.
Yeah.
So, I think financials, I think you're onto something there. My caution would be, with aiming for takeover targets, and you've done very well with these, if that's your primary play, what on earth do you replace them with? In a
Well, this is it.
consolidating market,
It's
it's hard to replace good shares.
hard to replace a stock because I chose that for its niche. When I was speaking about it with everybody else ages ago, I was saying, oh, cybersecurity, all this AI stuff is going to be a nightmare. You know what I mean? Da, 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 da. People going, I prefer Legal & General. I prefer, Aviva. Da, 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 da. And Aviva just went off with the new CEO, went off, and I was like, oh, I wish I'd chosen Aviva. And
Yeah.
it just lagged it a little bit for a good while. And now this takeover has surpassed what Aviva's done in the past 4 or 5 years. But I now need to be looking and considering replacing Beazley, right?
Yeah.
So I've already got Legal & General. Did I buy more Legal & General? I'll probably end up buying more Hiscox.
Yeah.
Because they've got a specialist niche.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even then, really, this might seem a bit cheeky, mate. I might even go overseas and buy myself a bit of Gallagher.
Oh, controversial.
I might even, I've looked at them recently. I thought,
Now,
because my
nice
thing, now, this is really provocative.
All sorts of miscreants.
This is really provocative. You know, there are, I call them a conglomerate, right?
Yeah.
I'm looking at all the little chunks and bits and bits and pieces and took some of the parts and thinking, if they spun that bit off, what if they did that one differently? What if they did that one differently?
Yeah.
And the sum of the parts is worth 30, 50% more than what the valuation is right now.
Yeah. There's some really interesting players in the brokerage space. Some really interesting players.
So, yeah. So I've got me out. So that, I'm already thinking about once Beazley's gone, where do I get some other sort of exposure to insurance? I don't like the banks. I prefer buying an insurance company.
Yeah. I like it. Well, I kind of went in the other direction. So rather than looking at potential takeover targets, I was thinking about really secure, regulated industries. And utilities spring to mind. You know, these are businesses that provide something within the UK that is very highly regulated. And it's not like we're going to get rid of, say, National Grid tomorrow. It's got regulated network revenues. It's got less direct tariff sensitivity than, you know, an equipment manufacturer. It's got predictable revenue streams. It's got a solid governance framework. That's a business that I can't see really being impacted by tariffs. And it's the same with the water companies. You know, I own Severn Trent. You've got United Utilities. Water sector economics are heavily shaped by price reviews and determinations from the government, but they're not particularly sensitive to external tariffs.
Yeah. You know. And most of their businesses are based in the UK.
Exactly.
So they've not got that exposure to, you know.
Exactly. So I was thinking more, what can you do to de-risk this supply chain issue? And, you know, if Donald Trump triples tariffs on us tomorrow, well, fine, I'll still be buying water from Thames Water or whoever.
Absolutely. My only concern, I've always said this regarding every time you've mentioned utilities, is the level of debt they carry, Henry.
Yeah.
And the fact they're such huge organizations with countless number of employees and responsibilities for what essentially is a monopolized vertical network of their own, is the cost to run the bloody things. You know what I mean?
The returns are very low.
Margins are low. They throw off dividends. They're consistent. But, you know, the conversation I had with you about the topic of what we're talking about is about making almost buying a little bit of your portfolio that's tariff proof. So that they answer that perfectly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, and they are sleep easy at night sort of stocks. But I want a little bit more spice, maybe.
You've got enough of Donald Trump's about to annex Greenland.
Yeah, you're right. I'm contradicting myself there. Right. Okay. So the other one I've got here I want to share with you. I don't own this stock. It's done exceptionally well, right? It's up 132% in 3 years. It's up 48% in the past year, right? Develops and operates an online trading platform for individual customers to trade contracts for differences. I don't like contracts for differences, but that's another thing. Its online trading platform allows its customers to trade CFDs in over 2,200 different underlying global financial instruments, including equities, indices, commodities, options, exchange traded funds, ETFs otherwise, and cryptocurrencies and foreign exchange entities there. So you can use that across all your different platforms. But it jumped out to me, Henry. I think it was, what's the date? I'm sure it was, I've got 12th in my head. So over a week ago now. And they reported financial full year results for 2025, which were off the charts, both exceeding market expectations. The company I'm talking about, folks, Plus 500 Limited, ticker symbol PLUS.
I used to own that a long time
Used to
ago.
own them. Yeah. Well, this is what we're talking about. Some of the multi-baggers we've left behind, Henry, and I had one, which was CNC. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which you still own that? Yeah.
No, I don't own that, but
Oh,
I've looked at
okay.
it once or twice. It's the same space, yeah.
Yeah. As I was saying on the pod last time, I think I've done the numbers now, Henry. And I think it's 14-fold it's gone up since I went, see you later, and thought I'd done well.
Oh. Oh,
14-fold. Bye-bye, Peter.
don't do
Oh, I'm
that
sitting there going,
to yourself.
absolutely, mate,
That
absolutely.
way lies
But
madness.
yeah, we can't get them all, mate. We can't get them all. But the numbers for plus 500 are absolutely off the charts, and they've been distributing monies as well to shareholders. And they've done really, really well. Just exceptional ahead of expectations. Got two exciting B2B partnerships announced in the US future space, delivering on all metrics. I definitely think this is one to investigate. Volatility of the market is going to accelerate with all the stuff that's going on. I think 2026 could be a volatile year. I've got CMCX in this space. Plus 500 has outperformed that because I didn't really want to go towards plus 500. But plus 500 could continue to do well this year, I think.
Well, I've just made my eyes water. I've just had a look at the share price on ShareScope.
Yeah.
It is up 3,346% since it listed.
Since listing.
Since listing, 3,346%. I owned it in about 2018, maybe a bit earlier than that, when it was down at maybe £5 a share. It's currently £41 a share.
Oh, Henry, you mean the bad boats there, mate. Bloody hell, it's
Oh,
mad. Yeah,
yeah,
sorry, mate, bringing bad memories. It is
that
eye-watering. But I think this is this thing which I've been trying to combat. I mean, I always talk about psychology on here, right? We tend to hold on to the losers. I nearly said something else then. The losers that we have in our portfolio almost sometimes far longer than we like the winners. And what, you know, it's not inexperience, but sometimes you think, oh, you know what, this has done so well. And it seems to be ahead of, it seems to be a bit overstretched at the moment at this particular price.
And
So
then we
then
never get back.
we trim it a little bit. It falls back some more. We go, oh, actually, I want to capture that profit I've got. I'm going to take the lot now and stop. And then it
Yeah.
goes past where we've sold it, and we go, I'm not buying it at that price now. And
Yeah.
then it just carries on, carries on, carries on. Are you going?
Yeah.
But yeah, good example that one. Plus 500. I would recommend you, ladies and gents, go and have a little look at that one. It's got some
I like it.
significant partnerships as well with CME Group and other people. It's got a lot of good networks in its ecosystem.
I
Have you
like
got another
it.
stock you want to talk about, Henry?
I do. So I was having a conversation with our friend Matt Gregory over
Okay,
Christmas.
okay.
And it struck me when I was doing the research for this. We'd been talking about this before I even realized this was our topic. Defense and government contracts.
We've covered this bit, yeah.
So BAE Systems, they've got
Oh,
multi-year
yes.
programs, contract
Yeah.
driven demand from the UK government. And they're less sensitive to global trade volumes. They're still exposed to FX. They're still exposed to geopolitics, probably, considerably more than something like a utilities company. And they are going to be impacted by supply chains.
Yep.
But I also think that there's an increasing move to sort of ring fence defense contractors. It's onshoring. There's been a lot of onshoring going on. And I've got a sneaky suspicion businesses like BAE might actually prove to be more resilient than you'd initially suspect. And if anybody's particularly interested, I know Matt has done a terrific amount of research on this space. Go ping him on Blue Sky or Twitter and say hello and ask what his opinion is of something like BAE and what his take on it is, because he's done a lot of reading and a lot of research. And you'll have a really interesting conversation, I promise you that.
Oh, he's a deep researcher. I love the way he just, the thing about Matt's research is it starts here, but then he does a full 360 and he covers, and you're like, Matt, okay, mate, I thought it was gonna be a short conversation. Like, but I've got to tell you all of it, Pete. You're thinking, whoa. And then when you finish, you're thinking, I didn't know that. No, I didn't know that bit either. I didn't know. Yeah, thank you for doing the 360 on it, Matt. I mean, it's very intense.
He's just so intelligent, so well read. You know, I love having conversations with Matt because I always feel like I'm learning something new, and he's not patronizing about it either. You know, some people are too experts and they love to tell you that they're an expert, and you think, oh God, you know, I have enough of this at work. Actually, with Matt, you just have a really, really nice chat and you learn something, and you learn something without really realizing you're being taught, which is lovely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's a lovely individual. Right. I'm conscious that I'm not going to keep you too long, Henry. I'm going to whistle through three stocks that I think would be of interest for the people to research. Right. So okay. I'm going to just whistle through and give you the overview of these stocks. They are Griffin Mining. Okay. Ticker symbol GFM. Yeah. 1 year, this stock is up 89%. Over 3 years, up 233%. And the news on Monday was that it's renewed its mining license. I cannot pronounce the word for this mine. Until August the 28th, 2054. Extending the term by 26 years based on the resource estimates. So this is a mining company that owns interests via its Hong Kong subsidiary, China Zinc Limited, and holds licenses including mines and processing facilities in the People's Republic of China. Given all the noise and turbulence that's going around, China might be sitting there going, "These guys are all up to all kinds of stuff. People are going to be wanting to work with us now going forward, right? Rather than certain other individuals." I don't know. Maybe that's not the case. But given the mining minerals that they've got here, their exposure to zinc, gold, silver, lead, got a processing plant and facilities and roads, infrastructure-wise, have a check out for Griffin Mining. I don't think we've ever spoken about it on the podcast before. But could it go higher? I do not know. It's already done 233% in the past 3 years. Just go and investigate and have a look. Come back and tell me I was stupid to even mention it. Another stock, Henry, I'm not sure we've mentioned on the pod before. Ticker symbol ZEG. Zegona Communications, right?
I've heard of them.
Yeah, say again?
I've heard of them.
Right, okay. Is engaged in network-based communications and entertainment businesses. Company strategy is to invest in businesses in the European communications, media and technology sector, TMT, with the objective of improving the performance to deliver shareholders' returns. Have you looked at the chart for that one, Henry?
It's gone through the roof.
It's up 305% in the past year. If that's not tariff and Trump resilient, I do not know what is.
Yeah.
And who's been speaking about Zegona in the past year? I've not heard anyone talking about it.
No.
305, no. Quietly going past there. Yeah. If that had got mentioned as much as Games Workshop or Goodwin, yeah, or AstraZeneca in the past year, it probably would have done 100%, not 305.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely amazing. Now, this last stock I'm going to tell you about is one I own, and I've been accumulating quietly. I've got the amount that I want now. And this is me getting more and more exposure to copper stocks, purely because of the super cycle that they're in and the consolidation in that space that's been going on since last year. So I've been building a position since last year. I've finished building my position now. This is Central Asia Metals.
Oh, you've sunk my battleship.
Let me finish saying what I'm saying, then you can say what you need to say. Right. So, ticker symbol CAML. It's a base metals producer with copper operations in Kazakhstan and zinc and lead mine in North Macedonia. Its principal business activities are the production of copper cathodes at its 100% owned Kunrud SXEW copper project in central Kazakhstan, and other projects besides that. Won't go into any more detail about it. Henry's chopping at the bit to tell me more about the stock that he also owns, which I did not know, ladies and gents, did not know. And neither did Henry know I was going to speak about it either. So over to you, Henry. You're going to tell me you hate it.
No
got a Lambasters
disclaimer.
don't look
I've owned Camel for years.
a bit. Oh, wow.
I've owned
Wow,
Camel for
okay.
years. It's been a top holding of mine for a long time. Very disappointingly, last year they made an acquisition, or they tried to make an acquisition of a Canadian mining business, and it all fell through. The share
Yes.
price soared, and then it fell through, and then the share price plummeted, and now it's
Yes.
recovering again.
Guess when I started buying it, Henry?
I'm hoping at the bottom.
Not the bottom, near the bottom, near the
Good.
bottom.
Good. If you started buying at the top, I'd have been quite surprised.
No, I've just it was an opportunity. I was like, but they were going to spend all that money on something that may not have worked, and you're
Exactly.
punishing them. They've still got the cash to go and do something else. And I'm
Exactly.
thinking, and it's copper. It's copper
And
again. I'm going,
it's actually a very high return on capital employed business.
absolutely.
So, I'm going
Absolutely.
to bang my drum for a moment here about returns on capital employed. This is not a mine with nothing at the bottom of it. This is a producing mine
You
that's
did say
profitable.
you're going to come up with a different saying regarding that,
Ooh.
Henry.
Right, that's my job before the next podcast.
Right, okay.
But I do like it. And I agree with you, Peter. Unsurprisingly, I think copper's in a massive bull market right now. I think it's going to do terrifically well. The other name that people might be interested in on the copper mining front is Atalia Mining, which I used to own and I sold last year.
Yeah, I looked at that one a couple of times, and I looked at this one a couple of times, and I was thinking, God, this, Eastern Europe, nearer to Russia, all those sort of things that give me the heebie-jeebies. I was like, I'm just gonna have to do it, and I'm glad I did. But it's because of what it, I mean. It's because of the copper, the super cycles we get regarding commodities, and I think it's a safe haven this year. Rio's. The Anglo American stock that I already own as well, Ecora that we already own, similarly. There's more consolidation coming. One thing I would look out for, folks, right? BHP is sitting there on the sidelines watching consolidation, yeah. Rio and Glencore, yeah. Anglo Mining, yeah. All these consolidations, all these little people partnering up, and da, 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 da. Tech resources, yeah, they're sitting there, and at some point or other, they are going to make a move. They may not go all the way down the bottom of the food chain, but there's some. They're going to be doing something in that space. I'm not sure what they're going to do. I've got my own Freeport MacMoRan as well. I don't own that one yet. I think they could be getting nibbled by somebody or looking to buy somebody, but the consolidation in the copper and gold space is not over with yet, mate.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. I'm really sorry to have to do this to our
Yeah.
audience, to you.
No
I'm
worries,
afraid
Henry.
I have to dash, buddy. A very happy new year to all our listeners. A very happy new year to you. Thank you for tuning in. Please don't be strangers in 2026. Do let us know how you're getting on. Ping us a like, ping us a comment, repost us, etc. And I will catch you on the next episode, which will be in February, I believe.
Absolutely, it will be, mate. In 2 weeks' time, we'll be recording podcast 172. I am going to try my level best to organize a guest for us as well, Henry, somebody that you love and admire. So
Good.
we'll see if I can sort that out. So, ladies and gents, that is a wrap. Henry's got loads of things to do this evening. It is already 5:30, so we're going to call it there. Keep an eye out for Rio Tinto and Glencore as to see what happens there and the other consolidations going on. There will be another merger and takeover of sorts in the UK space. I've taken an arbitrage position on one stock I'm not going to share with you right now. But a minute it comes out and goes, yes, this is what's going on, I will tell you all about it. Henry, have a great evening and I will see you soon. I will be in London very soon. All right?
Excellent. I look forward to it, buddy. Have a great
All right.
evening.
All right. Ladies and gents, thank you ever so much. Thank you for your support. And we'll say goodbye for now. Henry, take care. Have a great evening, mate. Bye-bye for now.
Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScope.co.uk and discover the advantage.